Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Anybody who wants to eat tonight better roar right now, just saying. You know, it's a big deal being a mom to be. When you're a little girl, you aspire to be a mom. I know there's lots of you right now trying to be a mom. Your day is coming. I have a word from you from the Lord. It is, enjoy this time. Because I called my mom the other day and I asked her a question. I said, Mom, how long are kids going to be so needy? I mean, Austin's 32, Ashton's 18. Like, when does it slow down? And she said, well, you're 50 and on the phone with me, so got it. And I have graduated just a little bit. We get to spend a lot of time with Liam, and Liam is my 17-month-old grandson. So if we don't know each other at any of the campuses, this is the point where you go, oh, she doesn't look old enough to have a grandson, and thank you for that. It's oil of Olay, and I appreciate it. On Mother's Day, keep lying to me. It's the house of God, but those lies are okay. He'll forgive you. And I realize there's two reasons that it's okay to be a grandparent. And I figured out grandparenting. So for all of you who are just trying to make it through your kids, there is light at the end of the tunnel. The bad part about being a grandparent is every time you see your grandkids, it costs you a grand. That's how you get your name. The good part about grandparenting is I figured out it is parenting guilt-free. You get to do whatever you want. And you don't care because you just give them back. So I brought a little video at our staff Christmas party. Liam was like 12 months old, and he had something to say. And because I'm a grandparent, I didn't care if anybody wanted to listen. Matter of fact, you get to listen right now. Check this out.
Ooh. 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 Ooh.
That's some good stuff, isn't it? That's some preaching. If you ever heard some preaching, that's some preaching. And you know what? I don't feel bad at all about having you watch that. I am guilt-free. And I don't know if you've picked up on the little word that I'm just kind of sprinkling through, starting it with some comedy, because it's a little bit of a heavy topic, and the word is guilt. Everybody say guilt. Being Mother's Day, I'll clue into one kind of guilt for a second, because there is a thing called mom guilt. Mom guilt. Most moms feel guilty 99% of the time. Can I get an amen? I mean, guilt is this thing that you just get stuck in, because if you go out without your kids, you feel guilty that they are not with you. So you check on them and you call the sitter, or you check in on the monitor and they're crying. So then you feel guilty because you're not there. But then if you call and everything's okay, you feel guilty that they're okay and you're not there. So then you start having fun, and then you feel guilty because you don't feel guilty that you're not guilty, that you're actually having fun while they're not there. Can I get an amen? But just for all the gentlemen in the house and everyone who hasn't had a baby just yet, I just want to let you know, guilt has no special need of just moms. Everybody feels guilty. It is this design of the enemy to come into you, Weldon Spring, and say, hey, here's the deal. You screwed up. You're not worthy. You're going to have to live with that the rest of your life. The fact that you upset your kids, that you weren't there, that you don't work hard enough, that your boss found out, that you weren't holy enough, that you didn't pray, that you didn't eat right, that you didn't exercise. Why do you think that you deserve anything? Does that voice sound familiar to anybody in the house? Can I get an amen? I want to let you know that guilt is this thing that is designed to keep you from your destiny. It is constructed to keep you stuck, and it is that weird compulsion that just lives on the inside of you that makes you feel bad for, well, pretty much everything. And I want to let you know unequivocally today that guilt did not come from God. That guilt did not come from heaven. God did not make you guilty. God made you righteous, not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done. Come on, there's a good amen in Faith Church. I need to hear you, Sunset Hills. You need to speak up. It says right here in Romans 5, it says, therefore, since we have been made righteous. Everybody say made righteous. You can't earn it. You can't serve enough for it. You can't do enough mission trips to get it. You can't buy your way into it. It's a gift. It is the best gift that anybody ever got. It's the gift that comes with Jesus. The rest of that scripture says, through his faithfulness and our faith. That's why you're here today, family. We're here building our faith. We're here building our faithfulness. We're here showing God that he's still important no matter what has happened. So let me just tell you about a little bit of guilt I had. When do moms start feeling guilty? I started thinking about it and asking some friends on Instagram, and we figured out we start feeling guilty when we're pregnant. We didn't eat right. We didn't do that. Oh, was I pregnant? And I had a glass of wine. Was I pregnant? And I exercised too hard. I'm pregnant and I won't exercise. I got pregnant when I was 17 years old. I was an unwed mother. Don't worry. You're going to save hands. Pastor Dave's going to be back next week. And I brought a picture of me pregnant. And I just want to let you know, it takes just the right amount of hydrogen peroxide and sun in to get hair that breasty blonde. But there I was as a senior in high school with my folders trying to cover my belly. Picture of the first day of school. And that's how I went to my senior year of high school. When did I start feeling guilty? When there was this baby on the inside of me, and I thought, what did I do? I have screwed up this child's life before it even started. I don't know how bad you feel like you've screwed up. I don't know who you've hurt. I don't know what your past looks like. But I know what your future looks like. Your future looks new. Your future looks redeemed. I see forgiveness in your future. Yay, no, I see forgiveness in your present. I see forgiveness in this moment. And I believe that you are here in the sound of my voice today because it is a divine connection for God to lift off of you that heavy weight of guilt that you've been carrying. It does not matter what has happened to you. It does not matter what has happened because of you. It matters what Jesus did on the cross and that you lay your life down at his feet and he lifts it off. Everybody say, lift it off, Jesus. Because then I had that whole working mom, stay-at-home mom thing, and I was broke, living in my parents' house. I was 17 years old when he was born. Here he is, 2 weeks old. I worked for this tiny company. I did their invoicing. And so they called me and they said, we need our invoices. Can we bring you the stuff at home, and can you do it? And I want to let you know, before COVID, when I was 17 years old, I set up my first home office. I brought a picture. That thing with that little curly thing on it, that's a phone. And that black box right there, that's not a laptop. They call it a typewriter. And you'd put in like this threefold piece of paper, you'd type, and you'd have to rip off the back and mail it out and fill the copy. And that little thing in my lap. If it's your first time at Faith Church and you don't know, my son is 32 years old. He is sitting right here on the front row in West Palm Beach. He is the executive director of our Florida campuses. He's a campus pastor right here. He is serving Jesus with his whole life, and I couldn't be more proud. It is not what I did. It's what Jesus Christ did in me, and it flowed through to my family, and he wants to do the exact same thing for you. You don't have to live in guilt and condemnation. You can live in the freedom of Jesus. Can somebody in Faith Church give him a good amen? Online, you better be standing up in your living room shouting how good God is. Woo! So you might be thinking, how do I get rid of guilt? Because how many of you know 32 years is a long time from being in the crook of my leg to that moment, right? How? And I want to let you know, I did a lot wrong in between. Can I get an amen? Hey, moms, dads, people, workers, we got a lot to feel guilty about, but the goodness of God says we don't have to. How do we not have to? I've got three ways for you today. Way number one is you got to fix it. How do you fix it? Here's the crazy thing is I made that line, but the line is actually the wrong line because we can't fix it. is where we fix our eyes. You see, we have a tendency to look out and around like, how do I fix this? Like, I want to analyze this thing. If I analyze it and I think about it and I think about how it happened and how it can't happen next time, I'll just put this little stop in the way and then it won't happen anymore because we want to fix it. We can't fix it. We don't look out. So then we look in and we're like, I need a self-help book. I need to listen to more audiobooks. I need somebody to tell me what to do. Don't look out. Don't look in. Friends, there's one way we look up. We look up. And we look, we fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12 and 2, it says, we fix our eyes on Jesus. One version says, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Another version, New King James, says, the author and the finisher. Look at your neighbor right now and tell him, you ain't done yet. It's the whole reason you came to church today, right? Because we're in process. Because we have to be reminded to look up and not look in. We have to be reminded to look at him. We need to be reminded of 2 Corinthians 4:18. Fix our eyes not what is seen, but on what we can't see. What can't we see? Because there's pressure. I found this meme on Instagram. And there's this pressure for us to fix it. Anybody look at Pinterest? I got rid of Pinterest because Pinterest made me feel like a failure, right? Because there's a meme of a fix it is a little drawing on a cardboard box, and then there's another drawing, and that's okay if we don't have it. Don't worry about it. It was awesome. See, it's a moment like that. I could just, oh, there it is. You see, your kid draws this over on the left, and if you look at Pinterest, if you fix it, it's supposed to look like the thing on the right. I'm here to tell you, if Picasso himself had coached me, it is never going to look like the thing on the right if it is my pen. But with Jesus, everybody say, but with Jesus. But with Jesus. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus. If you prayed that prayer today, your next step is growth track. They're having it at every campus today. You don't have to wait for your next step. We had baptisms last week, but you know what? Sign up. We will baptize you. You don't have to wait for your next step. You need to get involved. You need to start serving. You need to get in a small group. Get people around you. And they will help you fix your eyes on Jesus. Say, number one is fix it. Number two, you got to think about what you're thinking about. You see, here's a wild thing about guilt. I've been doing a lot of study on guilt. I've been consuming books, audiobooks. I'm studying guilt, shame, vulnerability, limiting beliefs, and how to eradicate limiting beliefs in your life. And guilt is one of the limiting beliefs in who we are and who we can become. So here's something I have learned about guilt. Is guilt can only exist where you care. So the problem is we feel guilty because we start thinking about it. So when Ashton was about 6 years old, that was Ashton, if you're at the West Palm Beach campus, Ashton was that blonde girl who was leading us in worship today. I know she's led at all the campuses. You guys know Ashton. She sings, she plays, but at one point in time she was six and she wanted to play like Taylor Swift, so she wanted to play the guitar. So I told her, well, you can play the guitar, but you have to learn how to play the piano first. I just want to let you know, have you ever told your kids something that you knew immediately you did not meet their approval? So, Mom, I don't want to play the piano. I want to play the guitar. I'm like, awesome. In order to play the guitar, you have to play the piano. I play, and so I knew it would be easier for her to pick it up. So I put her in piano lessons, and she'd be going, do, 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 do. Do, do, do. I'd walk by and she'd go. Do, do, do. I felt bad for years. Why? Because I cared. Caring is a space for guilt to manifest. I know you care about the fight that you had with that person that you love. I know you care about the job that you're doing at work. I know you care about the fact that things aren't coming together. I know you care about the fact that somebody said something slimy on your social media. I know you care about the fact that you don't think you're doing a good enough job. But I'm here to tell you, all that stuff happened yesterday. All that stuff happened last week. If the day is over, you need to quit thinking about that. You need to admit it to God. Admit it to those people. Quit it and just lay under the blood and move right along. You are not what you did. You are what you do. Can I get you an amen? You got to quit rehearsing all the bad things that have been happening. Because well, here's the problem. We start telling us, well, I'm not a good enough mom. I'm not a good enough worker. I'm not a good enough business owner. I'm not a good enough friend. That's why I don't have any friends. That's why people don't like me. What are you doing? You're building your faith. Shift that car in reverse. And here's the problem. We have a habit of living up to the expectations that we put on ourselves. Guilt will get you expecting the worst, and then it will be faithful to deliver exactly what you expect. So we can't fix it. We fix our eyes on Jesus, and when we fix our eyes on Jesus, we have to think about what we're thinking about. Isaiah 26:3. It says, "You will he keep in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." That's kind of like that fix your eyes thing. But then it goes on in Philippians 2:5. It says, "Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus." What does that mean? Say, "I have the mind of Christ." And you have to rehearse that a lot of times. My beautiful husband is sitting on the front row and, "Baby, you hot." I just want somebody at Faith Church somewhere to give me some props because I am not distracted by my husband's physical acumen at this moment. It's Mother's Day. He bought me flowers. He got me a massage. I love him. I just need to love him publicly right now, y'all. If you're with somebody who bought you something today for Mother's Day, go ahead and squeeze them and tell them, "I love you." And if they haven't got you anything yet, just squeeze them in the arm, smile at them, and say, "I expect great things from you." David was getting his hair done because he puts all those pretty blonde highlights in it with a fake way. And he usually FaceTimes me while he's at the salon. And this girl does a great job. And I had told him, he had asked me, he said, "Hey, I want you to preach on Mother's Day to mothers." And I'm like, well, that's hard because I'm used to kind of preaching to everybody, but I'll figure it out. And I was praying about it and guilt came up. Mom guilt jumped in my head. And I started telling David about mom guilt. And he said, "No, I don't know if that's real." I'm like, "Because you're not a mom. You're a total dad right now. Thank you very much for proving my point." And he goes to the salon and she starts telling him, "Oh, my 3-year-old got sick today. And I mean, I was booked all day long. Like I was booked with you and I didn't want to let you down. So I couldn't go pick her up. And I called my husband and he said he had a light day. So he went and picked her up. And so they're at home right now. And I just feel so bad." And David said, "Well, is your husband have a problem with that?" She's like, "No, he's great." She's like, "Well, is your baby still sick?" She's like, "No, she's doing good." He's like, "Well, why don't you feel good?" She's like, "I don't know. I just feel guilty." And he said, "My wife was talking to me about this thing called mom guilt. Is it real?" She's like, "Oh, my gosh. No." No, you can't fight guilt on your own. It doesn't work. You just walk around feeling guilty. You walk around feeling bad. If you've been feeling bad, I'm here to tell you it's time to look up for a minute and say, "Jesus, what are those things that have been sticking in me, those little daggers, and how do I start pulling them out?" And here's one way you can start pulling them out. Philemon 1:6 says to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So David started just naturally, because of all of his training in the Word of God, telling her, "Well, are you a good mom?" "Yeah, I'm a good mom." "Well, do they like you at the salon?" "Yeah, I'm just booked solid." "So you're a good mom, and you work, and you take care of your family, and your husband's happy." "Yeah, by George, that's right." So I just thought I'd have you say a few things about you today. Are you ready to say a few things out loud? Say this out loud. Say, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When I'm winning, when I'm crabby, when I'm tired, when I'm strong, when I fail, and when I overcome, I am a child of the Most High. He loves me, and I am good because He is good." In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You know why you clapped? Because you feel better right now. That must mean that Philippians 4:8 is true. It says, Don't think about anything. Don't think about the guilty things. Don't think about the things you did wrong. It says, think on these things. Think about whatever's good. What have you done that's good? Think about whatever's lovely. Remember that lovely thing. What's good report? Think about something that somebody reported good on you. Think on these things. So number one, we fix our eyes on Jesus. Number two, we think about what we're thinking about. And number three, we receive his grace. You see, grace is the thing that it takes to erase the guilt. We got the grace to erase. How do you get the grace of God? Well, here's one of the things about the grace of God, and I'll tell you the three types of grace, and then we'll be finished for today. The grace of God, how do you get the grace of God? And the grace of God and the voice of God has to be louder than the voice of guilt. You see, because if I put this way down here, you can't hear me right now. The other campuses are freaking out. Campus pastors are like, did we drop audio? What happened? No, the proximity. This got far away. So you can't hear me. But when I get close, I can whisper and you can hear me. You see, the farther we are away from God, the more guilty we feel. And the closer we get to God, the stronger we get. So I'm proud of you for being in church today. You're getting under the voice of God. So I am proud of you for being in a small group. You're talking about God. You're talking about the things of God. That's why I'm proud that you're going to growth track, because you're like, I'm going to get strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's why I'm proud that you're in a serving group, because you're getting with people and you're getting aligned in a mission and a purpose and you're developing deep relationships. You get closer to God and you'll feel his grace. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near to God. And the end of that scripture says, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. We get near to God, that guilt goes away. We get near to God, and we start to feel his grace. Who wants to feel the grace of God? Say amen. That's because the first kind of grace that we need is from him. We need to receive his grace. The reason we need to receive his grace is, write this down if you're a note taker. God never asks us to produce something that he doesn't give us. I mean, here's the deal. How many of you at Faith Church, all campuses, I want to look you right in the eye right now. How many of you have done something wrong? I want you to put at least one in the hand in the air if you are guilty right now of something that you need heaven's help with. If your hand is not raised, I'm looking at all campuses. I'm going to call somebody on the platform. Just have us tell us about how perfect you are. Here's the thing. We have all done. So there's one lady back there. She's like, she totally does not want up here. We've all done something wrong. We're not perfect. We serve a perfect one, but we are not perfect. And guilt is the enemy's way of trying to get us to pay for what Jesus has already paid for. And you can't pay for it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's a gift. Everybody say, it's a gift. I just had a birthday. I turned 50. I know. I look 49 and a half. It's awesome. And I got a lot of Starbucks gift cards for my birthday. Y'all, I loaded up my phone. I was like, oh, your girl's going to be caffeinated and happy. So when I go to Starbucks, nobody pays. You go to Starbucks with me, I got this. I have people fighting with me like, oh, no, I'll get it. I'm like, no, look at my phone. It is already paid for. I didn't put this money here. Other people put the money here. It was a gift. I go to Starbucks. I can't pay with my money because when I scan my phone, I got lots of other people's money on there paying for my coffee. Y'all, Jesus is better than Starbucks. He's already paid. You have to stop remembering what God has forgotten. When you confess your sins, he removes it. It says in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, it goes away. In Psalm 32, he says he forgives us of the guilt of our sin. If you messed up, go to God. Tell him you were wrong. Ask for his forgiveness. Turn around and go another way. Pick up your head. Straighten your suit and start walking like you own the joint, because your daddy does. Can I get an amen? So we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. We're going to think about what we're thinking about. We're going to receive his grace. What kind of grace? We're going to get grace from him. Second kind of grace. I need grace for me. You need grace for you. The problem with guilt isn't what other people are saying about you. Guilt is what you are saying about you. Because you might have done the thing and God forgave you. You might have done the thing and they even forgave you. But today's the day that you need to forgive you. Because, I mean, I get it. I get you. You're a little bit righteous, but you a little bit ratchet. I know, I feel you. You're a little bit holy, but you a little bit hood. Somebody messes with you, the earrings come off. Come on. You mess with your girl. I ain't scared of you. I had an abusive ex-husband. Let's go right now. I will not back down. You got grace, but you ain't always good. There ain't nothing that will get your dander up. Guys, you think you're tough? You ain't never been in the carpool line with the school moms. I am happy that I got my daughter she went to private school for a few years. We went by the gas station, got a Lunchable, and got her to school only like 5 minutes late. That was a good day, y'all. That was a good day. But not the moms in the private school carpool line talking about you as you walk by. It's like, you see that Lunchable there. They're telling the little precious with the bow because they had time to pick out a bow. And they're like, hey, precious, I just want to let you know that I cut your sandwiches into stars and hearts. And I put a different scripture on every sandwich because we're Christian. And then you start feeling convicted about balance. Everybody is stuck on balance. How do you balance work life and home life? How do you balance kids and family? How do you balance romance and intimacy with having everybody? How do you balance being single and being holy? How do you balance? I'm here to tell you, there is no such thing as balance. That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. Because balance indicates that there is perfection and life is not perfect. Life is messy. Life is chaos. Life is crazy. And you can't spend your life trying to balance on a tightrope. Because we're so busy trying to be everything, we end up being nothing. Because here's the way we think. Tell me if this sounds a little bit like your list. You think, okay, I need to pray more. I need to exercise more. I need to sleep more. I need to work more, but I need to be at home more. I need to cook more. I need to love more. I need to be a friend more. And that's just for today. Does this sound familiar to anybody at any campus? If so, raise your hand. No, you need to pick one. Today, I'm going to be a good mom. Tomorrow, I'm going to be a good wife. So today I'm going on a date with my kids. Tomorrow I'm going to date with my husband. Today, you're going to pray more. You're worshiping God. You've made space for him. Tomorrow, the first time you say his name might be when somebody cuts you off in traffic and you say, oh my God. He's going to forgive you for that. I know you wanted to sleep more today, but today you caffeinate. I know you wanted to work more today, but today just hope your boss looks the other way. I know you wanted to mom more today or parent more today, but today just be glad you don't kill your kids. You gotta have a little grace for you. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, pick one. Just pick one. You pick one because we don't live in a balance. We live in a rhythm. Today, I do this. Tomorrow, I'll do that. The next day, I'll do something else. I heard somebody say one time, be where your feet are. Today, you're in the house of God. Give him your time, your talent, your treasure, your attention. Focus on him. And then tomorrow, if that time gets stolen, don't feel guilty. Just let him know, I see you, I hear you, I feel you, and I'm gonna be back. Say, I'm coming back to Jesus. And my final point, so let's just talk about how do you not feel guilty? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You think about what you're thinking about. You get the grace to erase. What is that grace? Grace from him. Grace for you. Last one is the grace for them. Because see, you can't give away what you don't have. So if you don't receive the grace of God, you're not going to give the grace of God. And if you think people are nasty and you don't like them and they don't like you, it's probably because you need grace for you. So you receive that grace so you can give that grace away. I was just traveling with Ashley from the Weldon Spring campus. I was speaking at a conference in Mesa, Arizona, and she was telling me this story. She told me I could share it. And I thought it was so brave and so amazing. She's like, hey, you, once somebody from my company got your book, they introduced it to the company, like 500 people got on a Zoom call to listen to you talk, and it wasn't me, and you're my pastor, and I was mad, and kind of didn't come to church for a couple weeks because my feelings were hurt. This girl's blonde and sinful and a little more successful than me, and I was just jealous. And then I came back to church and Pastor Dave preached on pride, and I was like, oh, that's me. And she's like, now I'm back and I'm strong and I'm awesome. And here I am. God put me on a one-on-one trip with you to Arizona. I said, Ashley, look at God. I said, you got grace from him. You got grace for you. And here's the deal. Now she's got grace for them. That blonde girl who she was jealous of, I said, you know what? She's single wishing she had a husband like you. She's in an apartment wishing she had a house like you. She doesn't have kids yet, wishing she was a mom like you who could do the mom life and the work life. The enemy will sit here and get us jealous of each other about the very things that we think we want that we don't want. When we have grace for other people, we can't compare ourselves to other people. We can't size ourselves up to other people. And if you don't write anything down today, write this down. You need to hear this. Ferguson Florissant, I got a word for you. Here it is. You are not responsible for their happiness. You can't make them happy. You can't make them forgive you. All you can do is humble yourself. Say I'm sorry, repent, and mean it. Do your best to fix your eyes on Jesus, think about what you're thinking about, and walk the other way than you did. And then if they're not happy, that's their problem. That's their problem. You just walk free of that thing. You might have hurt them, but you're doing your best to fix it. And you need to know that God's grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. I want to let you know, you can't make you happy. So how are you going to make them happy? You just let them go. Leave them to Jesus. Invite them to church. Because this is where they'll learn how to get grace from him. They're not really mad at you. They're going to forgive you eventually if they get to Jesus. They're mad at the situation. They're mad at what happened. But as soon as they get under a little bit of grace, y'all, though they're going to have grace from God, they're going to have grace for themselves. And as soon as they have grace for themselves, they're going to start having grace for you. You just walk in it. My closing story, and then I'll stop. You saw the blonde girl covering her stomach with her folders. And you saw the blonde girl working with a 2-week-old baby on her lap. A working mom. That's who I've been my whole life. I could have worked better and I could have mommed better. I sure could have mommed better. But at my birthday party. See, if you don't know me, part of my story is when I did get married, I married a man who had medical initials after his last name, but ended up getting addicted to prescription medication, turned into cocaine, turned into crack cocaine, made him super abusive, herniated my C7, broke my ribs, threw me through walls, restraining orders, guns. It was the most insane. Like, I should make a movie. Like, one day I'm going to make a movie, and I'm going to pick, like, Halle Berry to play me because she's cute. And I wrote a book about it. And David asked Austin not too long ago, did you read that book? I never thought it would be hard for him to read the book. And he didn't tell me he did till my birthday party. And he said, Mom, I always thought you were clumsy and I would see the holes in the walls. And I was like, my mom is so clumsy. He's like, I remember going to the Christmas tree farm out in the country and walking through hills to cut down our tree and seeing Santa Claus and being given hot cocoa. I remember going to Grant's farm and seeing the animals in the zoo. I didn't remember what had caused the holes in the walls. I just thought I was clumsy. here to tell you, God has the best clean up your past restoration program that you could ever ask for. He's back there working on it right now. He's back there with the broom. He's back there with the grace to erase, and he's going to erase the bad memories and bring out the good ones. If you need God's grace on your life because you've been feeling guilty at every campus, would you stand up right now? I want to pray for you. I want to let you know I feel the Spirit of God in this house. And I believe that not something natural, not a little moment. I believe something supernatural is coming right now. Father God, we lift our hands to you in the sign of surrender. Because you are God, and we cannot put our mind around how powerful you are. So right now, we stop trying to fix it ourselves, and we look at you, God, and we say, God, we loose you on our past. We loose you on our present. We release it to you, God, with our hands outstretched to heaven. And we say, we receive your grace. Erase it from us. Flow in us, God. Give us peace. Our mind is stayed on you. And we honor you. And we're thankful for you because you are so good. Amen and amen.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.